Okay, how great it is to be here. It's been a long time. Seems a long time. Well, it has been for us. A very full time, a wonderful time, but it seems a long time. And it was just lovely to walk in this morning and hear the worship team singing, and we really miss that. Because as my husband shared, Pastor John shared, the other week when he spoke, that there are many churches out there that are sadly lacking in that area. They desperately need singers and musicians, and we have been given an abundance of that. So we continue to encourage them and pray that God would raise up children. But, you know, quite often God raises kids up in other areas to move out and to go and to fill those needs. But it's just awesome, you know, travelling around Australia and being privileged to see the wonderful things that God is doing in the lives of people, but also in this wonderful country of Australia. We live in a very rich, resourceful country, and we need to continue to pray for this great Southland of the Holy Spirit, that it will be used wisely for what the Creator meant it to be used for, that man will not pilfer it and destroy the riches of this wonderful country. And you know, when God calls us to do something, it's just absolutely awesome. And sometimes we can get caught up with romantic ideas when we feel a call of God on our lives. But we need to understand that God calls us, but there are always challenges. And I'm really excited this morning. We know we're in the right place, but with communion and the words that came forth, God ties everything beautifully together. And you see, God does have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And often we get stuck in a place and we feel nothing is happening, but sometimes we're the cause of the being stuck. And God wants us to know this morning that there is a way out. But as I said, quite a few years ago, God laid on our heart the ministry that we were to take part in, the new sphere that he was leading us. And when these things first come, when God first speaks to us, as I said, things seem very excited, and we get all excited about it, and we just want it to happen now. I'm a now person, and my husband often says, just pull back and just wait. And I've learned in God that we have to wait in his time, that it's not our time, because if we want the purpose to be fully fulfilled and we want to see the riches of his grace, we can't hurry things. And sometimes it takes a long time. And sometimes in the journey then, in the waiting, we can become disillusioned and distracted. And it's almost like, you know, a book or the Bible. I see many homes where there's a Bible, but there's a lot of dust on the Bible. And sometimes there's a lot of dust on our dreams. And there's a lot of dust on the visions of God. But God says he wants us to blow it off and to stand in that. And so when we're waiting in this purpose, God wants by his Spirit to keep that alive in us, to keep alive the hope and the dream and the purpose, so that we know that one day it will come. And so our day came just over four years ago now. And in this last venture, while it was exciting, because one of my dreams, as they say now, the latest thing is your bucket list wish, was to go to Alice Springs. And you know, I found in my life too that sometimes if I really centre on something and desire it so much, often when you get there, it's not always what you dream it's going to be. It's wonderful, but we often get caught up in the vision of our dreams rather than the vision of reality. But we were all excited and planning this trip, but we'd learned to be cautious. And there are always challenges. There are always challenges in life. And you see, sometimes we think, oh, these things have come as obstructions. But they're not obstructions. It was God that led Jesus by the Spirit into the wilderness. And it's God often that causes the obstructions. It's God often that causes not obstructions, but challenges. Because he's wanting to grow us. You see, God lays out a vision and a purpose, but then he's got to make us fit for that. And we get caught up and we think, oh, I'm ready, God. I'm all ready for this thing. I'm all ready to go. But there's a lot of stuff has to be broken away. There's a lot of stuff has to be sieved and cleansed so that we can be refined into his purpose. And that's a process. It doesn't all happen at once. But when God sets out a new vision, often then he has to take us through that process. And so it is that this morning I want to speak about faith and about what faith is and about how do we fully understand faith. You know, we get caught up and we say, God, you know, I've got the faith. But the Bible says that faith is a belief with strong conviction. It's a firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. Complete trust in or devotion to. Faith is the opposite of doubt. Faith is possibly the most single important element of our Christian walk. We need to have faith. And in Hebrews 11:6 it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we need to firstly believe that he earnestly exists, and that he exists in all things, in all times, in all places, for all purposes. But sometimes we only see God fully existing when things are good. When things are bad, we start to look in other areas and we think, where is God? Well, God is there. He is in that very thing. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, faith is about what I can't see, what I can't feel, what I can't touch, but what I know to be sure, because I am fully grounded in the truth of his word. See, the word of God is not positive words to make us feel good. The word of God is about believing in a person who is real and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, but according to the power of him that is at work within me. And so, you know, as we grow, we learn more and more. Without that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, we will struggle with understanding the word and also with understanding faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and it's one of my favourite scriptures from when I was first saved, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now, you see, that's faith, but that is a little bit easier, because it's like, as I acknowledge him, he will direct my path. And so we sometimes get the idea God's going to do everything for us and he will direct my path. And then when John and I were engaged, as I've shared many times, the lady that led me to the Lord gave me a scripture, a little plaque which sits in the centre of our home. And it's from Joshua 24:16, the lower part, the later part. And it says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now, you see, when you look at those scriptures, one is saying, well, God, you do it because you'll direct my path. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, we grab that promise, and in my faith and in my lack of understanding, I just thought it was going to be easy, that, you know, we would serve the Lord. Oh dear, did I have a lot to learn. You see, that faith is a faith of action. And so by faith, we had to trust God that he would show us how to do that. So do you see the difference? That sometimes we think that our faith is just that God's going to do it. But God has called us and given us the resources and the ability to do many things ourselves. And that is faith. It's faith in trusting what God says. And he says, now you put it into place. You put it into your life. You allow that to work in you. Yeah, sure, God is there, but there are many things God will do for us, but God will not make our choices for us. He wants us to choose to believe his word rather than the reason of our mind. And so often we get stuck. And that word that came this morning, that Kayleen brought about, God will fulfill our dreams. And then Pastor John, the word that came through him, is that many are just sitting stuck. Because often we have these dreams and these visions that we believe that God has given us, and we just don't see them. And as I said, I'm a now person. I want it now. Well, God's taught me that it comes in his time and purpose, because I'm not ready now. I may not be ready now. It's not a matter of the word being ready. It's about me being fit to receive the word and to be able to fulfill it. Because when God puts us on in a place, when God puts us on a journey, there's no turning back in God. There's no standing still. And so he wants us to be ready. Now, we planned for this journey that we just did, this 6,500 kilometres. We planned and we prayed, but it was a faith journey. And so often people think, oh, well, faith journey, yes, you've got to have faith to believe financially. And certainly we had to do that. It was very much a faith journey on finance. But it's a faith journey for other things too. It's a faith journey in believing that you're going to be physically able. It's a faith journey to not be concentrating and being concerned, is the car going to be okay? It's trusting that God is going to take you there. It's a faith journey every morning that you're going to get from that place to that place. And not only that, it's a faith journey that when you get there, that you're going to be received. And you see, we saw God fulfill all of those things because we believed that we were ready. He fulfilled all of those things. And the greatest thing to me, the greatest wonder, wasn't the finances, which were wonderful, and the car, which was wonderful, and our strength, which was wonderful. It was the way that the places were ready to receive us, because God had gone ahead of us. God had gone ahead of us because it was his time. Because when we move out too quickly, things will go awry. They will be messed up. When we go in God's time, everything is perfectly planned. And it was almost like when we went to Cooper Pedy, it was almost like the people said themselves, they felt like they knew us. There was that coming together. Now, there's always a wonderful connection when we go out and we meet other Christians, because we're bound by the Spirit. But we find there's no awkwardness at all. It's just like a connecting together. And so it was very rich and very wonderful. And we went to encourage, but we were greatly encouraged. We were greatly enriched. And our faith was increased by that visit. It was wonderful. And again, I would just like to thank you all and bless you for your prayers, because we don't go on our own. We go as part of this body. We go because you are with us. And we were very aware of your prayer. If any of you have experienced, you know what you mean, what I mean. It's like you're carried on prayer. You really feel that. And always you know the prayer's there, but there are certain times it just comes in and you just know that you're being carried on prayer, that you're not out there isolated on your own. You know, you're going with a whole team. The Bible says about a cloud of witnesses. And we know spiritually, but we felt that with you spiritually, that you were praying, and we do praise and God for that. And as I've said before, many people know about Grow Church. We were able to share with people and give out cards, and even in car parks when we go to look at various things and moving around the towns, and we were seeing many tourists, we'd talk to them and say, look, if you're in Melbourne, so we have an expectancy that people are going to pop in, because they were so taken with what was happening. So this morning I want to share about those things, about what it means. And, you know, David Livingstone was working in Africa, and a group of his friends who were thinking about him and praying for him wrote to him and said, we would like to send other men to you. Have you found a good road into your area yet so that we can send them quickly? And according to a member of David Livingstone's family, it is written that David Livingstone sent a message in reply. If you have men who will only come if they know where the road is, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. That's faith. You see, when we plan the way and when we want to see everything all smooth out before us, that's not faith. The greatest thing against faith is disillusionment. And we find people in many places, and maybe even here, and we've heard the word this morning that's come from the Lord himself, that many become disillusioned. Disillusioned because they don't feel things have happened. Disillusioned because nothing's worked out the way they wanted. Disillusioned because their dreams seem to be ashes. And you see, the Lord says he'll give us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. But you see, To be a tree takes time, it takes work, but it takes stickability. A tree doesn't move. Its roots are firmly planted and go right down into the soil. And I love trees, as I've said before. And if you see trees planted on the side of the river, particularly the Murray, what they go through to get to the water. The soil might be all broken away and you think that tree's going to die, and yet it'll still send its shoots down. And sometimes the shoots will grow along and the tree's up here somewhere. But it has an incredible thing because it's focused on one thing, to be connected to the source. And you see, we become disillusioned when we become disconnected from the source. No, we still love God, we still pray, but we lose heart and we lose our vision. We lose that sense of this faith, this doing faith. Faith is the Bible says that without faith, nothing happens. And so we need to have faith to believe, but we also need faith to act. And that is where things go amok sometimes. God's battle plan really prepares us for everything that we're going to go through. But faith is to say, I know the one who holds my hand, and so I'll walk through it with him. I want to speak this morning out of Exodus, that wonderful story in Exodus chapter 14 of Moses, when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. I love this story, and we know we've heard it and we've read it, and there have been many messages over it, but the Lord really laid this on my heart while we were away to speak, and so here it is today. And so we know the story very well, don't we, that for over 400 years the children of Israel were captive in Egypt, and they cried out for a deliverer, and they believed that God would send a deliverer. And sometimes, you know, we can believe something, and we certainly believe it, and we'll cry out for it. But do we always recognise it when it comes? We have to be more focused on the one who is the deliverer than in the action of the deliverance. Because otherwise we will miss it when it comes. And so we see in this scripture that all that time they had been waiting. And you see, when we're waiting for something, God is providing and planning, but often things seem difficult. And sometimes we can get into a place where we think, where is God? And so we see that Moses, eventually, and we know the story that God had to deal with Moses in many, many areas, and we can be the same. Moses actually argued with God and put up all these excuses, as we can as well. And yet we would say we're people of faith. And so Moses finally went and confronted Pharaoh, and the wonderful thing happened. Pharaoh agreed for the children of Israel to be let free. And off they went. Now God could have, and I won't go into a lot of detail because you know the story and you can read it there, but God could have taken them on a journey straight through the land of the Philistines, and it would have been an easier journey. But God didn't do that, because he knew if he did, that straight away there would be a battle. Now, there was enough of the children of Israel to overcome, but they would have become afraid. And out of their fear and their discontent, they would have turned back to Egypt. So he led them on another path, and he took them down another way. And so we see that they went off down into the valley. And I was looking at something on the computer last night, and it was showing a picture of exactly where they went. And there are many today trying to discredit where they really went, and they're trying to say that they went over a little creek. But they're actually finding things now. They've not long ago, in the last couple of years, found an actual chariot wheel. Because today we've got people that can dive, and the water there's beautiful and clear and crisp, and they've gone down, they've actually found artifacts and things in the bottom of the sea, which proves that's where they cut across into the wider part. And so we see that He brought them out of this place of Egypt. I'm just trying to find here where I'm up to. And he took them out into the desert, and they came into this place of a valley that was surrounded by two garrisons, two different lots of people on either side. And there they were in front of this great sea. And straight away the people started to complain. And you see, when God takes us into something, if it isn't what we dream it's going to be, or it's not what we expect, we straight away start to complain. We forget that God has a purpose, and God's purpose never changes, that God's plan and decision is always true. And so the children of Israel had seen God move in miraculous ways. They'd seen all of the plagues. They'd seen incredible things happen. They had seen how they were called to, again by faith, do something. They had to take a young lamb, and they had to kill it in a certain way, and they had to cook it in a certain way and eat it, and they had to put the blood on the doorposts. And the angel of death passed over. Now, what an awesome thing to experience. And they'd seen that. They'd seen the plague of frogs. They'd seen the water turn to red blood. They'd seen all the lice. They'd seen all these things. And here they are, being free, and they're all rejoicing and all happy and happy to wander and travel all this distance, thousands and thousands of them. And then they come to this water, and suddenly, from way back in the camp, there's news that suddenly Pharaoh, God caused his heart to harden, and he had second thoughts and thought, why have I let them go? And he decides to pursue them. And what happens? Fear enters their heart. And that's what happens. If we look with our eyes, fear will enter in and it will diminish our faith. We have to be in the spirit so that we say, okay, this thing's come against me. God has promised me that. There's a hiccup here, or there's a challenge, rather. But God, you've brought me here, so you must know what this challenge is. And I look to you, not the challenge, and know you will make a way out. But that's not how we... And I'm not just saying you, I'm saying me. We all have to learn that. Before we went away, as I shared with many, about 2 weeks before, I had a real challenge with my legs. And I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this trip. And yet I'm telling you that I knew God had laid all these things out, but I became focused on what I was feeling. And Father God said to me, I've not asked you to be able, I've asked you to be willing. If you're willing, I'll make you able. And I was able. And it was exciting. Doesn't mean I didn't feel them, but they functioned and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. And so, you see, we can be put off by fear. And so if I'd centred on that, I could have stayed home and none of that would have happened. And I would have diminished in other areas. Because once we give in, you see, the Lord's called us to stand up and take hold in him and to believe his promises. And so it was the Lord that put the children of Israel between Satan and the Red Sea, because he knew that it was the only way to produce faith in them. And God puts us between a rock and a hard place sometimes so that we will call to him. Because when everything's going well, we start to rely on our own resources and we start to feel pretty good about ourselves and we feel we've got faith all worked out and we don't need anything else. But God wants us to know that we need him every day. And so God's battle is designed to bring him the greatest possible glory and for us the greatest possible understanding of how much we need him. And so as Pharaoh approached the Israelites, and was pushing down, the children of Israel started to complain, why have you brought us here to die? Why didn't you leave us back in Egypt? And all of these things that happened and all of the grumbling that took place, as we see there. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Haroth, between Midgal and the sea. And they were to camp by the sea, directly opposite Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And so we see then, down in verse 13, Moses, the people started to complain and were miserable and crying out about what was happening and why they hadn't been left in Egypt. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So they are feeling negative and they are looking at their circumstances and forgetting about God. But, there's always a but. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. This is in verse 13. The Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Now that was a faith statement. The trouble you see today, if you stand, you will not see again. Yes, there'll be other trouble because there's always challenges, but you will not see this trouble. Once you defeat, once you stand in God, that's over. That is over. And God has taught me to live in today. Not take on tomorrow or not worry about yesterday, but just trust him for today. And I will not see the trouble of today again as I stand in him. The Lord will fight for you, only be still. Be still and know that I am God. And you see, often we think of being still and standing there. It's being still in here. It's being still and fully focused on the Spirit at work within you. His power at work with you. Be still. Be still up here. Put this out of gear and get into the Spirit and know that he is God and he is able. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Because Moses was praying, obviously by God's response, Moses was praying in his heart, because while he was saying this to the people and he believed they needed to be still, he would have been thinking, Lord, how are we going to get out of this? Help us. Moses would have been pleading, make a way out. Stop the Egyptians. There's many things we can think of when trouble comes upon us. We want the easy way out. God, send some money to pay that bill. Lord, get me a job. Get someone to ring me up now while I'm sitting here. Lord, fix my marriage. Just do a miracle. Just do it. Fix it all up. My children are acting up. Lord, change them. Change their habits. Change the way they think. Moses would have been thinking, Lord, do something. And the Lord said, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Now, there are times when we just cry out and we pray. Now, the Word of God says we're to pray without ceasing, and we certainly are to pray. But you know, faith is that there is a time to stop praying and act. And that's where often we get stuck. We are so busy praying and crying out for God to do something, we forget that God has given us the ability to do mighty things in him. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, lives in me. And we forget that we can activate by the power of the Spirit. We can have wisdom, we can have understanding, we can have strength, and we can have authority to be able to change things. And it's get up and move. See, in Psalm 23 it says, yea, though I walk through the valley. We're not to make our bed in the desolation. We're not to sit there. But you see, so often when problems come, we sit there and we cry out to God, God, I've got the faith to believe, but do something. Well, God's not going to do something from your chair. God challenged me that, and when we went, believe me, there was no great mighty change in my legs. But as we went, they were able. If I'd have sat there and said, God, I want to see that I can jump up and down before I go, that's not faith. Faith is saying, I'll take these wobbly knees and legs and I will, in your strength, do what you've called me to do. And as you go, the way will get easier. And that's what faith is. And so here was Moses telling the people to move forward. Now you imagine Moses, he's obedient to God, but he's thinking, how's this going to happen? We've got this great expanse of sea. It was huge. It was miles wide. And I've got all these people. And God firstly says, tell the people to move. So firstly, we need to grasp that that's what faith is. Moses would have told Aaron and Miriam and the others and Joshua to get the people ready to move. They were to move. And then God said, because he didn't expect Moses just to say that and expect the people to just obey him, God said to Moses, tell the people to move and raise your staff and stretch your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And so that's what Moses did in faith. And it was just a stick. It was a rod. What's God put in your hand? What's God put in your life that is calling you to raise up and use? Don't despise the small things. Moses could have said, but it's just a stick. What's that going to do? But you see, who created the stick and who is in control of the hand that holds the stick and who's in control of the sea? Who's in control of your circumstances? And so as Moses raised the stick, through they went. Now we think that's all beautiful and we see pictures of this sea roll back and these people, but you see, suddenly a faith grasped these people. They saw a miracle and they moved. But you see, the first people had to move. There are people at the back. There were millions of them. They couldn't move till they moved. And you see, God is calling each one of us to move because you don't realise who you influence. If you get stuck and you don't move, you can hold up a whole generation in your family. In your family, in your friends, in this church. So it's only as God gives me the call and by faith, I get up off my little whatever and I move forward. Then the others will move behind me. Otherwise we become stuck. Stuck in a very sad and bad place. And I don't want to look back. Yes, I make mistakes and I'm not always quick to move, but I praise God I'm getting quicker. Not in activity, quicker in faith. The activity you've got to wait for. I had to smile when we got to Melbourne on coming back from Townsville on Monday night. My dread, they stopped at the out on the terminal. We came with Jetstar and it was late coming in and there were no hatches for us to come into. And we were down the front of the plane and John said, are you going to be all right? I said, yes. And you see, you've got to put away pride and all those things. And I said, I'll be all right, but the people will have to wait. And I had this whole plane behind me, and I've got to come down these stairs. So down I got my hands, and one at a time, down the stairs. But I was pleased how quickly I went compared to what I can do. And John said to me, you did well. And so then all the people came down, and I thought, well, they're just going to have to put up with it. I can't help it. Otherwise, I'd have had to have waited till the plane ended, and then poor Kayleen, as it was, we were 15 minutes late, she'd have been that much later. And once I would have done that, I thought, oh, I've got to stay back. But now I take my place. And I went. And as I went down, I was thinking again of this message about how we've got to move forward and others follow. It doesn't matter how we move, as long as we move. So don't worry if you waddle, ladies, because I do sometimes, or men, or you're on a stick or whatever, as long as you're moving, because things that move are alive. Things that stand still become stagnant and dead, and dreams die, and visions die, and nothing happens. And remember, you have a generation following you. And so Moses stretched forth his hand. Now think about it too, about the order of the spirit that came into line then. We can't see this as a physical thing because you imagine the water. Firstly, people would have been, standing there, and you've got to move because there's time. And everybody had to move in sync. Now, you imagine the children. I think back to my children, especially some of my grandchildren. They'd have been wanting to run and grab. There were all these fish in this water. Can you imagine seeing this great wall and what was in this water and children wanting to touch or some being afraid? And so we see with, just like Joshua with the walls of Jericho, people were into the plan of God, and at that moment the Spirit of God came down and they moved in order. All of these people. And then as Miriam got over to the other side, her and Aaron, who would have been first, started to sing and pray to encourage them as they moved along. Now, the Bible doesn't indicate or tell us, and I've really gone into it, to show there was any problems along the way. There was no squabbling. There was no people trying to push anybody, because if they did that and someone fell over, it would have been a riot. Have you ever seen the things on TV they show you when Myers opens its door on a sale, and the frenzy of people that rush through there, and they're only minute in number compared to this. And there's always this fear because someone gets pushed over and then it's chaos. Everybody falls over. It's a stack upon stack. That didn't happen because God was in control. And while Moses held up that rod, the Spirit of God led the way. And we know too that the pillar of cloud came behind them and blocked off, and it was black and dusty and Pharaoh couldn't see what was happening. And so you see, today I want us to understand that faith is an action word. Sometimes to continue to pray about something over and over is an abdication of responsibility. It's a lack of faith rather than a positive faith, because we're wanting God to do something that he's given us the ability to do. And there's got to be prayer, but then after prayer there's got to be action. God expects a child of faith to do something. So without faith, both believing and active, nothing's going to happen. Faith means we need to have a go. We need to get in there and see something happen. What could you do this week to change things in your life? You know, God takes us day by day. What could you do today? In your marriage, in your job, in your family, in your community, whatever it is that you're struggling with, what can you do? There are many things that we can do, and God challenges us to look in him for what we can do rather than expecting him to just be this big daddy that fixes everything up for us. There's no growth in that. God could easily do that. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us enough. It means that if he fixes everything for us, we would never grow. We would never learn. It's a wonderful feeling when you accomplish something, when you get through and you do it and you see the victory that's ours in Christ, the victory in these situations. In John 9, 6 and 7, we see the story of a blind man by the pool of Siloam. And Jesus comes up to him and sees that this man is blind. And he takes the earth and he spits in it and he mixes it to a paste and puts it in the man's eyes. And you think, well, that should be enough. We don't always understand why God does things, or the Lord does things the way he does. But there was a reason. And we would think, well, a man should see. And then Jesus says, go and wash. There was an action. The man could have said, this is ridiculous. What are you putting this mud in my eye for? I can't see. But he went and he washed and he could see. There was an action to his faith. We know too with Naaman, the king, when he went to Elijah and he was told to go and dip in the river 7 times. Why not once? God was trying to teach him something. Obedience. Humility, to continue to dip, whatever God says. It's an action. Faith is an action. Sometimes God has us between a rock and a hard place because he wants us to trust him and to act on his word. He allows things so that miracles can happen. God is not a magician. God doesn't work magic. He works miracles through very little people like us with a big spirit inside of us. We're imperfect people, but in Him spiritually we are perfect. And He works miracles. He wants to bless us. He doesn't bless our good intentions. He blesses our faith. And God is calling us, I believe, to stand up and exercise our faith to give Him something to bless. If we're not standing and activating our faith, God can't bless us. If you want to be blessed, walk in faith.
Amen.
I walk by faith. I walk by faith, not sight. And so as we do that, as we activate our faith, as we walk in faith, God blesses because He sees there's something. God longs. You know, with your children, when they're born, mothers, we're very active in the birth. And we certainly have to do all we can to make that happen. But once the baby is born, we encourage, but it's the child that has to come out and say the first syllable, mum, bub, dad, blah. Sometimes it's only mum can understand what they're saying. The same as when, you know, we can't wait for them to walk then, and we stand them up against a wall, or I used to, and come on, come to mummy, come to mummy. I can't make them make the first step. They've got to step out. When they're in school, we can encourage them with their studies, but they have to put their head down and motivate themselves. And you see, God is like that with us. He's our Heavenly Father, and He loves us. He looks at us. Have you ever sat and felt the joy of the Lord and experienced His love being poured upon you? And feel how wonderful it is to feel His presence around you and this love that He's only looking at you. He can only see you. I never feel that other people are only looking at me, but I feel that with God, that He's just looking at me. And as imperfect as I am, He loves me. He loves me, and He gave Himself. And He wants so much for me, and He's saying, come on, Pat, get up and take it. Get up and take it, just like my children. Take the steps. Take the steps. And if I fall, I get up. But take the steps forward so that I can bless you. And you see, as the children continue to walk, then they start to run. And they find it's wonderful. They don't have to go back to crawling anymore because they can reach all the places they shouldn't reach. And so then God has got to teach us how to walk correctly and in the path that He set for us. Some of you may be crying today. Crying out to God. God, why aren't you doing something? God says, I have. I have. By faith, get up and take it. By faith, move forward. Don't just sit there. Faith involves something you've never done before. Again, and I won't share it, but there's a story in Matthew 12. Verses 13, 14, where Jesus comes to a man with a withered hand and He says to him, stretch out your hand. And these are my words, but the scriptures show this man, well, I can't. It's withered. And Jesus says, stretch it out. And the man stretches it out and is healed. Sometimes faith means to lean into the seemingly impossible, but with a possible God. With an all-possible God. Are you prepared to lean in? Our journey is our own. It's between us and God. No one can make it for you. Husbands, you can't make it for your wife. Wives, you can't make it for your husbands. Mothers, you can't make it for your sons and daughters. Fathers, you can't. You can't for your parents. You can't for anybody. But you can for you. And in doing so, the Lord has shown me in my life, in the background I came from. Lord, it just seems so impossible to turn all of this around. And God said, but I've already turned it around. Just step into the place, not the place you're at, not the place where imperfect men have put you, not the place where imperfect men and broken people have tried to convince you you are, but step in to the fullness of what I have for you. Step into my will, step into my purpose, my plan, and as you do, you will carry generations with you. You see, when Jesus Christ calls us, he cuts off the old and he opens the door to the new. We are new creations, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for good things, for blessings, for abundant life. And the door's closed on that. Now, the people are there and we love them, but the influence is over. Don't go back to that. Don't be drawn back to thinking, I can't. I hear people say, oh, but my parents were divorced. You know, what hope have I got? Or I'm adopted, what hope have I got? Or my father was an alcoholic. Yeah, it matters in the sense of your emotion, but in the sense of God, it matters nothing. Because God has called you, and it's in stepping into the things that he has for you. Not only will it bring change to your life, but believe me, I've seen it change in those behind me as I've stood. But we have to stand and know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his mighty power that works in us, that never fails. So is God saying to you today, why are you crying? Joshua was pleading because they failed at the Battle of Ai. And he was crying out to God, and God, he was laying there, and God said, Joshua, what are you doing lying on your face? Get up. Get up. It's too late to go back and win the battle. But Joshua was there. He's never going to find the solution. But when he got up and listened to God, God showed him to trace where the sin was. And it was Achan's sin, wasn't it? Achan had done something God told him not to. They were not to take any of the spoils of the battle, and he hadn't taken them and hidden them. Sometimes there are hidden things in our lives, and yet we cry out to God to fix it, and God says, no, allow my spirit to search out that thing and cleanse it, and then you can move forward. Don't waste time crying. Stand up and take hold of everything God has for you. Yes, pray, but accompany your prayer with action. Put legs on your faith and walk by faith and see the abundance and the wonderful glory of God that is about to be revealed. God is no man's debtor. God is a God who promises. God is a God who fulfills. There are times for long prayers, but there's time for action. At some point in life, we face what can appear a no-win situation. It seems the road leads to ruin, but when we step out in faith, that's when we see God, by our faith, work a miracle. Make the choice today and move toward God, moving forward, knowing that God will not only go with you, but he's already prepared the way. Father God, we thank you today for your word. Father, I pray that your word has been taken by your spirit, Lord, not my words, but Father, the essence of your heart has been, Father, taken and connected into the hearts of each one of us, that we all need to know what it means to have faith. Faith to believe that, yes, you are able to move mountains, but Lord, you've given us the authority to speak to that mountain in Jesus' name. You won't just move it. You've called me to speak to that mountain with full belief, not hope, full belief that as I speak in Jesus' name, it will be done. Father, I pray that each one of us will know that we have that authority. We have that spiritual word, Lord, to speak to the things that have come against us in our life, the disillusionments, the discouragements. Father, you've already won the victory in Jesus. He's already risen from the dead. We just have to claim that victory by faith of your word, by faith of speaking your word, by faith of acting your word, Lord God. Father, teach us not only to be hearers but doers, Lord God, that we would do all that you have set before us, that each one would accomplish your purpose. Lord, it is a beautiful purpose. It is a beautiful life that you have set before us. And so often many don't see the beauty along the way. They are so caught up with the anxieties and the struggles and the things that they think maybe will happen that never happen. So we just bless you today and thank you for the power and authority for your word. And thank you, Father, that you will continue to grow us and encourage us, that we would stop weeping, that we would stop crying, and that we would move out and take all that you have for us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.